clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into SST on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Joining me today to continue the NFL preview coverage. What a great time of the year is the fantasy god. I don't know if that's if that's the right way to say it, but I'm saying it right now. Donald Wagon Blast, host of the Collections Podcast on Spotify. He's been on this podcast before, and he's back to talk his specialty. Donald, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me on at the best time of the year. Fantasy football draft season is, without a doubt, my favorite time of the year. It's the only time that you really get most of your friends or family assembled for an hour or so each year, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. We just had our first draft a couple nights ago. Thrilled with my first team that I was able to get drafted. And I'm so happy I get to say this as well. Longtime listener, first time official guest of Subway Sports Talk. So I'm honored to be here, and I really appreciate you thinking of me and having me on.
Oh, dude, of course. When I think of fantasy football, my brain instantly goes to the Run Up to Score Fantasy Football Podcast, RIP. One of my faves of all time. You, your brother Scott, as well as Tom Hillier, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I almost went with Hills, which is just his Twitter name or something like that. But you guys were awesome, and I miss you guys. I know I do that every time we talk, and it makes you guys feel a little bit bad, but I also just, I want to remember those beautiful times I had with you guys every single week, twice a week during football season.
It hurts the most around this time, because this was when a lot of people would check into our stuff, and we still love hearing from people. We still love talking about it. It just, it wasn't in the cards for us to continue, but, Scott, Tom, and I are on great terms. I was just with the two of them for 4 days in a row in Las Vegas for our fantasy football draft. And, the conversations that we get to have about it, we are so overwhelmed with the support we got. And we're happy to have been able to have an impact in the circles that we did.
And thankfully now you still talk fantasy from time to time on the Collections Podcast on Spotify. And your brother just popped on to do that preview, Scott. What a gentleman and a scholar when it comes to fantasy football, answering my text at 12:57 of who I should start, and just always there for me, as you are as well. So I'm glad you're still ripping on that front. But also fantasy goals, something we're going to talk about here before we get into our actual fantasy goals of how we hope the season goes for our respective teams and all of our listeners' teams. How about that? Your fantasy football league 10-year anniversary trip to Las Vegas, when the group chat plans become reality. What a beautiful, beautiful thing.
All credit due to the other six guys in our league who made it out. My brother's the commissioner of that league. I'm the self-appointed deputy commissioner who holds no power. But I was there for vibes, and I got it. If anybody out there is considering doing a destination draft, I cannot recommend it enough. Like, you are going to have memories that you'll remember for the rest of your life. We are already talking about certain things that happened when we were in Vegas, and Las Vegas is great for it. The place that we went to, I'll give them a free ad if you don't mind, Pete.
Don't mind.
We went to the Circa Casino. They have a sports book / pool area called Stadium Swim. They were super accommodating to us. It is an unbelievable setup, and we had a great time. Couldn't have asked for better treatment. And the CEO of the casino stopped by and said hello to us during our draft and gave us his business card in case we needed anything. So do it. It doesn't even have to be the 10-year anniversary. If you're just like, I want to do that, good, go next year. You'll have way more fun than you could ever imagine. And I'm not a drinker, and I'm not a gambler. And I had some of the best times of my life in Vegas over the past week. So shout out to the Hometown Fantasy League. I still can't believe we figured it out.
That's absolutely glorious. I'm hoping that we get my 12 guys into the same backyard within 30-minute drive from all of our houses to get together for our draft in a week or two. So this is draft season, and that's why we're talking fantasy and nothing but it here on this podcast. I know I'm in five leagues. By the way, how many leagues are you in this year?
I believe it's going to be six this year.
Okay.
It's one of those, it's the Godfather gift. When I'm out, they pull me back in, dropped a league this year. Now there's a new work league coming in. So that I cannot say no to. So it was supposed to be five. It is six now, but very happy with all the different groups of people that I get to spend time talking garbage with and just praying that my fantasy team does well.
And as like the sports guys of our groups, as we so often are, as we talk into microphones about sports so frequently, as you talk many other things other outside of sports, but obviously fantasy, one of your things, you get asked to join a league. It's not easy to say no. So I'm with you. I'm in five leagues. One of them's work, friends here, friends there, college buddies, the whole nine. But it's awesome. And draft season is the best. So I have five drafts coming up in the next week and a half.
As do
I'm so excited. And I want to get inside your brain a little bit. From a larger perspective, our plan throughout the episode is going to be to hit that first round, because I know those people are talked about a lot, but to truly try to grasp what's happening in first rounds currently and in the next week or so is super important, of like how you're going to set up those middle and late rounds anyway, right? Because if you're going a certain direction in round one, you're probably going to look to a different direction in the middle and late. So we're going to get your takes on first round, mid round loves, late round loves, the whole nine. But first, I want to ask a more general question for 2023 fantasy football season. Is there an overarching theme in your eyes, Donald, that is present for this 2023 season? We've heard about running back years, non-running back years, quarterbacks' values are down, now they're back up. Who's to say, but what say you?
So it's good that we're going to spend a specific amount of time on the first round of these drafts as well, because this is one of the most topsy-turvy first rounds that I've ever been a part of playing fantasy football for the last 17, 18 years, like I have. Like, there is truly like three or four guys that you could take number one overall this year, and nobody can really bat an eye at you. And then as you get to that, well, you know, just think about the way that it goes. If you're in a 10-man league and there's three or four guys that can go with the first overall pick and you have pick five, there's a good chance that you're going to love the guy that you get at pick five or pick six. And then you've still got, you know, the end of the first round where you can really double up on some elite level talents from some guys that are maybe getting a little bit too disrespected. So one of the things that my brother and I talked about on our fantasy football preview, you can check it out on Spotify. We're in a Spotify exclusive podcast at the Collections Pod. One of the things we talked about is like, there's just so much uncertainty at the top, at the, you know, in the middle rounds, there's so many guys who switch teams, and we dealt with a lot of this last year. And I think everybody kind of got lucky that, you know, Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams were the big story last year. The two best wide receivers in fantasy were traded to different teams in the same offseason, and they both put in wide receiver one seasons. So now you're like, okay, can that happen with a guy like DJ Moore? Is that going to happen if the Colts are able to trade Jonathan Taylor? And that would honestly be one piece of advice that I would give, is if you're drafting, like Pete and I are recording this on Thursday, August 24th, and the Colts have given Jonathan Taylor his ultimatum of like, you have to figure out your trade, which I still don't really understand what it means when a team gives a guy a permission to seek a trade, because the team's the one making the trade. Anyway, if you are drafting before that Tuesday deadline for the Jonathan Taylor trade, I would honestly go to my league commissioner, and this is probably just such a little like rat boy thing to do, but I would honestly go to my league commissioner and be like, can we push the draft until after this deadline? Like, there is a legitimate cause for you to kind of put everything on pause until this gets figured out. And it's not just for one player, although obviously like Jonathan Taylor is the biggest piece of this involved, but let's just think about this, right? One of the first teams that got thrown out there for the Jonathan Taylor trade was the Bears, right? So you've got Justin Fields there. He was a top five, top four quarterback, I believe, last year. It wasn't because he threw a ton of touchdowns. It was because he ran for 1,100 yards. And if you have a player who literally finished second in the MVP voting 2 years ago and Jonathan Taylor into the backfield, like, he is going to take away carries from Justin Fields, whether you like it or not. So that all of a sudden tanks a part of Justin Fields' value. And obviously, if he improves as a passer, he'll probably still give you that QB1 with the rushing touchdown upside. But Jonathan Taylor is going to eat into that. That also absolutely takes Khalil Herbert out of the round 6 through 8 justification in terms of when you can take him. You've also got DJ Moore, who just got traded there. Are they going to run as many gadget plays for DJ Moore, some bubble screens, some end arounds, if they've got Jonathan Taylor? And then you've got Cole Kmet, who I know is not getting taken really even as one of the top 10 tight ends this year, but he's a big red zone threat for him. Well, you know who's a big red zone threat is Jonathan Taylor. So all of a sudden, you've got this completely different ecosystem in Chicago. Not to mention the fact that I think it would a trade from Jonathan Taylor would bump Anthony Richardson. He should be a top 10 quarterback drafted just off of his rushing potential if this team gets rid of their all-pro running back. It also does some insane things because the Colts did sign Zach Moss in the offseason, but we also have Deion Jackson, who turned in RB1 level weeks in Jonathan Taylor's stead during last season. So which of those two guys, they both probably get at least a 2 or 3 round bump in their ADP. And it just kind of sets off all these different dominoes. So if you can help it, like, wait until Labor Day weekend to do your draft. I know it's probably too late. And especially if you're like me and you did a destination draft, you're probably on the plane right now listening to this, hoping that the airplane Wi-Fi doesn't crap out on you. But like, there's a lot going on this year and there's so many unanswered questions. And this was one of the things that I thought Scott really did a great job on my show to hammer home, is just like, there's really not a lot. So when you can figure out a sure thing, that might be the way to go, especially as we get through it. And the other thing too, is like the last week of the preseason ends after this weekend, save it, you know, don't
get those injuries out of the way.
And I know 100%. Most teams are going to sit everybody for the last preseason game, like they always have, but you know, if you can help it, let's get through. There's going to be no joint practices and there's going to be no preseason games after Sunday, August 27th. Don't draft until then, if you can help it.
Correct. And hopefully, because this podcast is coming out after that, no one's listening to this going, God damn it, man, my whole team is hurt.
Yeah.
They're not in one of those situations, because I could not agree more. I'm the biggest advocate for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday leading up to that first Thursday night football. Let's do the draft then. I don't care. I'll do it Wednesday night before opening night. I want to know who's healthy, who's not. I don't want none of this garbage stuff where you got so hyped about somebody and they go down. Now, granted, that could happen in practice leading up to week one anyway, but the chances are much more, realist, or I guess in your favor. Yeah.
And in the last 3 days, that's happened to Terry McLaurin, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Jerry Jeudy, all receivers who are going in between the 4th and 8th round.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And some of these players that you're bringing up too, they have storylines around their names already. Use the Bears as a key example. Khalil Herbert's one of these guys I'm looking at like, you know, he might be really freaking good, especially for where he's getting drafted. All of a sudden that trade happens and you go, oh yeah, no, that's not happening anymore. So it's important to have as much information as possible before you draft, which is also just generally huge. Now on the more positional general front.
Yeah.
Is this year have like an overarching strategy? You can be very personal for this one. Like, do you go into drafts here and say like, I need a running back in the first round, or I need a receiver in the first round, or really does it depend on who goes and where you're at?
So I'm not a big proponent of zero RB or zero wide receiver drafts. I really don't think that you should really have any kind of plan to take, you know, position specific value at like, in your first two picks. Like, you got to take the best players who are available. And that's why the number one thing that I think anybody should do, and Adam Levitan of Establish the Run, who I think they just cut a deal with Underdog to kind of have their content featured under that umbrella as well, which is awesome for them, because Levitan's been one of my favorite guys for anybody who's looking for additional people to follow besides Pete and I, of course, for fantasy football advice. One of the things he said, he was like, if I were elected the president of fantasy football, draft lobbies would no longer be in order of like the eight of ADP or expert rankings. It would all be alphabetical order by the player's last name, and you can search for whoever you want, and it forces people to make their own rankings. Because at the end of the day,
100%,
you know, and this is to quote Matthew Berry, which I believe he does every year in one of his initial writings, is he says, it's an oblong leather ball played on grass or turf by 22 grown men at a time. Crazy things are going to happen. Yep. Unpredictable things are going to happen. So like, we love to say that like there's a lot of skill involved in fantasy football. Like, if you take Christian McCaffrey and he blows his knee out on the first play of the series, and I certainly hope that doesn't happen for the Niners this year, but like, that doesn't make you a bad fantasy football player. It makes you unlucky, because that's what gambling is. And you know, I know there's been a long debate on whether or not, you know, gambling, like, you know, I took a huge gamble on Trey Lance over the last 2 years.
Right.
The news that's come out about him in the last 2 days should let you know exactly how that went for me. You know, it doesn't make me a bad fantasy football player. No, I saw value in what he was able to do. I thought he was going to usurp Jimmy G by the end of his rookie season, And of course, you know, because the Niners are so loaded, they weren't able to do it. But anyway, not a lot I could do about that. And there's not a lot that you're going to be able to do once you draft your team. It's just, you know, set your lineup and pray, essentially, right? Like, that would probably end up being the name of the episode if we were doing this on my show, is just set your lineup and pray. So I don't necessarily have a plan. I have a plan for which pick I have in the first round, because a lot of my leagues, which I love and hate that they do this, but a lot of my leagues, you don't know what pick you have in the first round until 30 minutes before the draft.
It's a love hate. I love it and hate it at the same time. I'm right with you, because it's so exciting, but it's nerve wracking a little bit.
It's like, can I fit a mock draft in the next 30 minutes? Because, you know, I'm on Yahoo or ESPN or whatever site you choose to do your fantasy. I'm waiting for that draft room to open so I can see my pick. And then I just got to see if I can fire a mock off. So not necessarily like a pick. I will say, like, in most of the mock drafts I've done and in the draft that I did already, the live draft, I have almost always ended up with a receiver and a running back in the first two rounds. Who it ends up being, it's been a mixed bag, just because, like we said, like, there's not a lot that we necessarily know. I'll give you another perfect example. Cooper Kupp, right? He was hurt all of last year, burned people. Some people in full point PPR leagues were taking Cooper Kupp first overall. I don't even blame him for it.
But how could you?
They got burned
when he
by
played,
him.
He was electric.
Yeah, exactly. And he lost his quarterback and was still playing pretty well. And then he was out because the Rams were just like, what is the point of us even trying to win at this point in the year? So do you trust him enough to take him as the third receiver off the board ahead of Tyreek Hill? Would you take him ahead of Travis Kelce right now? These are the questions that you're going to kind of have to answer if you're in the middle of that first round, or if you have pick three and it goes Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, because that's a very real possibility as well. So it's a lot. There's a lot in the air right now. You know, the bingo machine has every ball inside of it, and we're just trying to figure out, you know, what we hope happens.
I think the two things that you said I want to pull out here for a second. One is being nimble, right? You have to be able to make your own decisions and be nimble when it gets to your pick. Because if you're picking number six, for example, right? And you're not even thinking about Cooper Kupp because in your head, he's off the board. And then people in your league are thinking how we just spoke and they don't take Cooper Kupp. All of a sudden, you're sitting at six and like, I was hoping for Travis Kelce. Yeah, he's still on the board, but so is Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
What the hell do I do? So being nimble and being quick is obviously incredibly important, right? You have to be able to do that. The other thing that you said, which I learned from you guys way back when, is don't be a slave to whatever system you're using's ADPs and rankings, because that's when you think that you're making a good pick because ESPN or Yahoo's telling you it is, or you think you're making a bad pick because they're telling you it is, and it might not be either. You have to be able to make your own decisions. Don't get the peer pressure from your draft room of people saying, oh my God, you just took Mike Williams in the third. Like, he's hurt every year. If you think Mike Williams is going to be a dog this year and be held, whatever, I just made that up. But like, if you think that, is that your guy?
He was my guy last. He burned me last year because I took him in the third round at every draft I was in. I had him in six out of my seven leagues last year. Oh, how did you know? How did you know?
I saw you get like taken aback for a second. I was like, oh, what did I just say? But like, if you,
how did
if
he know you, that was my guy. Still is, by the way. I love him.
He's a dude. He's such a stud. But if you want to bet on him, if you like them, you can't get beholden to Yahoo and ESPN's rankings just because one receiver is an ADP of five places higher. Who cares? You're not getting them on the flip side, right? Like, you got to take the players that you want to take. And another thing I learned from Rutz and the Wagon Blast boys forever is that you don't win fantasy from your draft.
No.
You set a foundation from your draft and you make your money on the wire and with trades, because the good fantasy players, you're talking about luck in fantasy football, the good fantasy players who every single year are in the final four of your league, it's not typically because they drafted the best. It's often because they were continuously making their team better.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually have sustained success. Like last year, I was playing in a two quarterback league in the playoffs, Tyler Huntley and Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
And I won.
Yeah.
Right. So like that wasn't, I didn't win the championship
because
I drafted
Lamar. Brock Purdy was a QB1, like 6 of the 7 weeks he started in the regular season.
Exactly. So like I didn't win my league because I drafted Lamar and Jalen Hurts. I got to the playoffs because I drafted them, and I won because of my late round picks who started taking off, like Devonta Smith and et cetera. Yep. Anyways, let's get into some more specifics.
One more footnote
here, Donald,
on what you just said. Since this is Subway Sports Talk, I think this analogy will really bring it home in terms of the anti-ADP. ADP means nothing when the diehard Giants fan in your league takes Saquon Barkley third overall. Because that's going to happen.
Couldn't agree more, dude. Every time I hear national fantasy podcasts talk, well, there's only national fantasy podcasts. When they're talking about specific players, it's something that they so infrequently bring up, especially for us being local boys. You're not a Giant or Jet fan, but you live in the area. When people talk about Darren Waller and like, oh, you might get him in the fifth. I'm like,
no, you won't.
You don't got seven Giants fans in your league, bro. Like he's going way too early in our leagues, right? Like it's very different. So that's another fantastic point. If you desperately want Garrett Wilson, you might have to take him higher than you're comfortable and it might work out for you. So, hey.
And if you're drafted next Wednesday, that's the day after the Hard Knocks season finale. How do you think that's going to go?
Everybody's got the juice. Yeah. Right? Everyone's got the juice on the Jets.
Knows?
100%.
Who knows?
Beautiful. Let's get into some specifics here at the top. I want to talk first, second round, because you are 100% right. Yep. Those two rounds are absolutely married to each other, because if you want to go zero RB, zero wide receiver, knock yourself out. I talked about being nimble. That's how I always try to play my drafts. But let's talk about it. It's pretty obvious to me that Justin Jefferson is the most frequent number one overall pick. Is that, don't elaborate too much, but is that something you agree with for the most part?
Yeah.
Okay. So from there, is there a clear cut rest of that number one tier to you?
Yep.
Because in my estimation, it's a little bit foggy, but there might be a couple players who have to stand out and you might have to take in that top three range.
Yeah. So I have it written down right here. If you're in full point, if I'm in full point PPR and I get the number one overall pick, I'm taking Justin Jefferson. If
Don't
I'm
blink.
In any non-PPR league, I'm taking McCaffrey or Austin Eckler. Just because Austin Eckler has scored like double-digit touchdowns, I think like three of the last 4 years. And McCaffrey, obviously, if we get any of what they really kind of started to unleash something with that offense with McCaffrey, and like there was he was starting to get back to scary hours where it was just like, oh, you got McCaffrey in your starting lineup? Well, there's 30 points. So I don't begrudge anybody for taking him. And I think, you know, the touchdown upside with those two running backs specifically, I think over Jefferson, who I think only had like 8 or 9, and I don't think he's had a double digit touchdown season to his credit yet. But of course, if that happens and he scores 15 this year without Adam Thielen in the red zone for Minnesota, then we're talking about a completely different animal altogether. If it's half PPR, it's your choice between those three. If you want to go Jamar Chase, I don't blame you. And honestly, if you're in like a 14 plus person league, if you went Kelce number one overall, I wouldn't hate it either. Because when you're that deep in the front of the first round and you need somebody that you know you're going to be able to depend on with the first pick, because your next pick is pick 28 or 27 or whatever, like there's a lot of good players that are going to be gone. One of them that might still be available at the end of the second round, though, is Patrick Mahomes, and then you can get that stack. But like, if you're in that deep of a league and you know that you're going to need somebody who you can depend upon, take the guy who was 100 points better than every other player at his position in full point PPR last year. That was what Travis Kelce was. You want a 100-point advantage? Take him whenever you want then, if that's what he's going to give you. And there's no reason to suggest that he wouldn't.
It's like playing an extra flex. It really is. When you have Kelce comparative to the other tight ends, it's like having an extra flex on your team, which is just something that you can't quantify at some point. Or I guess you can quantify it. And that leads me to my next question, because I typically agree there with that top group. You know, if you throw Cooper Kupp into that mix, I'm also okay with it. Maybe
you can throw Tyreek in there too, and I wouldn't bat an eye.
Yeah. So my next question is, with that being said, when is too early? When would you really raise the eyebrows if somebody took Bijan Robinson in the first round at a certain point? Like, which pick is too early for you? And you'd go like, God damn.
So this is the number one question that Scott and I, in our, you know, social circles have gotten is what the hell are we going to do with Bijan Robinson? And what you're going to do is you're going to hope that he falls into the second round. If you're me,
okay.
You're going to hope. And if you're me, that probably means you're not going to get him. Would I take him at pick 9 under the correct circumstances? Yes. But this is why the rankings become so important, because, you know, you rank every player by position, but that overall ranking that you want to hold yourself to, like, that's got to matter at some point. And let's be honest, we don't know anything about the quarterback situation in Atlanta. So, you know, whether or not Desmond Ridder is any good, we'll see. He had flashes. So does everybody who starts in the NFL when they're young, because these defensive coordinators don't have any film on them. And then all of a sudden it happens and the Wolves come out, right? So we don't know what's going to happen when the Wolves come for Desmond Ridder. We don't. Now, logic would lead somebody to believe, if they were trying to debate me on this because they're a Bijan believer, if they're dipping their hot dogs in Bijan mustard, like, they're going to come back and they're going to say, well, it doesn't matter if he's going to face stacked boxes because Ridder can't throw because Bijan's such a good pass catcher. No, that's the exact reason that's also working against Bijan Robinson, is if Desmond Ridder can't throw, he's going to face loaded boxes and he's going to not be have a quarterback who can consistently place the ball where he needs it to be as a pass catcher. Now, Desmond Ridder works out, sky's the limit for this kid. I don't mean to take anything away from Bijan Robinson, but hopefully what you know is already, Pete, is like, a lot of this is like the situation. And so when you visualize what the Atlanta Falcons offense is going to look like, is Bijan Robinson going to get you 1,500 total yards and 10 or more touchdowns?
The touchdown thing is probably the big question mark, right? Because last year you look at their running backs, and if you kind of combine the Cordarrelle Patterson and Algiers of the world, because, you know, Algier wasn't the full-time starter until down the road a bit.
And he was great.
They ran the hell out of the ball. Yep. And Arthur Smith obviously has a history of running the hell out of the ball. So my argument to that is, they did that last year with terrible quarterback play and ran the hell out of the ball. And nobody thought that they were passing, and no one was scared of Mariota or Ridder or whoever's playing quarterback for them. So maybe it'll happen again. And I guess my thing with Bijan Robinson is, how likely is the world where end of year Bijan Robinson is RB3, RB2? Like, I think that's relatively realistic. And I guess, again, depending on where you draft, like, I'm thinking if I'm 5, and I'm not in love with Kupp because of the injuries, and McCaffrey and Eckler are off the board, and I'm okay with it. I think I would go with Bijan Robinson that early, but to really bank your entire season on that pick is a swing. And it's another thing too. Like, you and I play in 5-6 leagues.
Yep.
I could take the swing on Bijan in a league and be okay with it, 'cause I have 4 other leagues that might work out in a different manner. If you're in one league, and you're in one do or die, this is my only fantasy league, and that's how I play fantasy, that's a whole different ballgame.
Or,
and you might have to go with a more reliable, known commodity.
Yeah, and you know, the buy-ins of these leagues is a big part of it as well. It's like, you know, are you going to put a $500 league's trust in Bijan Robinson and the Atlanta Falcons offense? I don't know. The one thing that I will say, because I don't want to sound like I'm too down on Bijan, I just don't know what to do with these rookie running backs. I never am on the right side of it. I was on the wrong side of Zeke, and Zeke was a running back one in his rookie year. Same thing with Saquon. You know, how many people got burned on Najee Harris's rookie year a couple of years ago? Like, they were all going right around that time. You know, they were all like late round first, where Bijan's going right now. I will say this, though. Can you name the number 2 wide receiver on the Atlanta Falcons depth chart right now? It's not Kyle Pitts. He's still labeled as a tight end.
Drake London is obviously number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Debatably, number by the way. 2. What did we get from him last year?
Zacchaeus ain't there anymore.
Nope.
Right? Oh my God. Who is it? I don't
Mac
even
Hollins.
Know. Mac Hollins, right?
Who was good on the Raiders last year, but who knows why or how.
Right. And
you know,
he's
the guy
huge.
Who plays opposite Davante Adams is usually pretty good. So, I don't know. With that in mind, like, there's not a lot of competition. And, you know, the Falcons have said one thing since they drafted Bijan 7th overall and got killed for it: we're going to line him up all over the field. So if you want a guy who's going to be all over the field and is likely going to be leading his team in carries, I don't hate the Bijan pick. I just don't know what to do with it. And for me, like, I'd rather have Stephon Diggs than Bijan Robinson right now. I'd rather have, I'd rather have Nick Chubb than Bijan Robinson. I'd rather have Derrick Henry than Bijan Robinson. Like, there's a lot of guys who I'm just looking at him and I'm like, I could take a chance on this rookie playing for a team that has, number one, a terrible defense in Atlanta. They were horrible on defense all year last year. Remember that DJ Moore Hail Mary catch at the end of the game? That was
of
to
course,
make the game
I bet,
32-32.
On the Panthers that game. Yeah.
I mean, right? That was to make that game 32-32. And the Falcons had no business even allowing it, right? So he's the story of the first round to me. Because he could be a league-winning pick if you take him at pick 7, and he could bury you if you take him at pick 7.
And because Algier was so good last year, who's to say he doesn't get 12 carries a game? And that just tanks the value of Bijan. Even if he's getting 4 or 5 targets a game, it's just not what you're hoping for out of your 7th overall pick.
If you're,
all right, let's keep moving.
If you're somehow related to Tyler Allgeier, I would recommend listening to the entirety of this episode because you may hear his name pop up again.
I love that. I'm here for the Allgeier wonders, even though I kept Cordell Patterson in a league last year, and that wasn't a great keep by me. What are you going to do? All right, so you're thinking more so, if you're in the 9-10 range, you'd rather go for a Diggs, a Barkley, a Henry, and then hope to get maybe Bijan on the flip side, which may or may not be likely. So who are the other names that stand out in that end of first, second round range there? And maybe even someone in particular who may be ranked at, you know, 12 to 17, who you think is a little bit undervalued and you would actually be okay with picking late first, early second.
If Davante Adams can be a wide receiver one with Jarrett Stidham as his quarterback, I have no doubt that he'd be able to do it with Jimmy Garoppolo. So any fear that you have of him is misguided. He's truly going to be, he's going to walk into the Hall of Fame in 5 years after he retires, if there's justice in the world. So I love Davante. I've been a huge Davante guy my whole life. Early second round is still too early for quarterback. I know the Jalen Hurts rushing touchdown upside is insane, but he did miss 3 or 4 really important games down the stretch last year. Pete, you highlighted fantasy it perfectly. Playoffs. He missed the fantasy playoffs, right? So you're putting yourself in that danger, and you can't, if you're going to take a quarterback that early, he's got to be top 5, which is why I still wouldn't take him like pick 1, pick 2 of the second round. But in my opinion, the earliest you should take a quarterback is at the back end of the second round, and that's to take Mahomes. We saw him play through a dislocated kneecap for 6 weeks, and he was a QB1 still. The guy is not of this world, right?
Yeah.
Coming off his second Super Bowl in 4 years with 3 appearances, he's insane. Anyway, early second round, the guy that I cannot stop drafting at like the early part of the second round, Subway, shout out to the New York area Subway Sports Talk. I can't stop drafting Garrett Wilson in the second round. I love him. He was so good last year, seemed uncoverable at times, and had some of the worst touchdown luck you could ever imagine. No Elijah Moore. Corey Davis just retired. Hopefully he's doing well, by the way. That seemed like a very murky situation for him to step away from football this close to the start of the season. They brought in Mecole Hardman, who never realized his potential with Mahomes. I'm not sure he's going to be able to do it on a short, you know, getting to know you period with Aaron Rodgers. They do have Lazard there. Pete, you and I can agree. Lazard's a great slot guy. He's a great security blanket guy. He's not going to threaten Garrett Wilson to be the leading receiver on the Jets, who put up, what was it, nearly 1,200 yards with Zach Wilson and Mike White last year.
With no quarterbacks,
We're done with the Mike White stuff, right? We're good on that. Everybody watched when the Jets played the Vikings 2 years ago or last season?
No. Jets fans will not give it up. I think there's still some Jets fans out there that when Mike White's starting week 9 for the Dolphins are going to be like, you know who I like this week? The Dolphins. Mike White is really, he can play, and that's
take him.
That'll happen.
Take him. Well, have fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let me ask you about 2 more guys in this range. So we start moving on. 2 guys who I think are very, very interesting here, who in theory could easily be first round picks, but based off the rankings, what you're looking at on a consistent basis, they're almost never ranked in the top 12, and that's AJ Brown and Tony Pollard. They're not frequently picked in the first round, though they're very, very understandably 8 to 10 range players. They're usually top of the second. Do AJ Brown or Tony Pollard stand out to you as somebody you might want to reach on a little bit, or do you think the early second's the right spot for them?
AJ Brown absolutely does. He's one of those guys, like, it's so funny how you develop these relationships or lack thereof with certain players through the scope of fantasy football. Like, I don't really know how good AJ Brown is because I've never had him on one of my fantasy teams. Like, he just doesn't register, and then I'll see highlights of him and I'm like, how is this guy not like walking into Canton, Ohio right now? You know, like,
he's amazing.
He showed up in big spots for them all year last year. And like, there's really not a pick that you can waste getting Jalen Hurts, unless you're taking him in the early second round, AJ Brown or Devonta Smith, who's kind of going like a couple rounds later. Like, Devonta Smith was really good last year too. AJ Brown just has that. He can shove a guy off and run for 50 yards and nobody's going to catch him for a touchdown. He can beat you deep. He can beat you over the middle. There's not a lot that he can't do. So why would you not take him? He's a big dude, seems very durable, hasn't missed a lot of time that's sticking out in my head. So he might be a guy that you want to take over one of the more shifty, explosive guys like CeeDee Lamb, who I also love. And let's pivot. I'll use that as a professional segue of Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb's teammate down in Dallas. The Cowboys, without saying it, have made a huge bet on him. They franchise tagged him. They didn't bring anybody else in. Dalvin Cook has now signed with the Jets. Zeke is now with the Patriots. Are they going to get Fournette? Probably not. We know for a fact that they are not going to trade for Jonathan Taylor. So
yeah, Jerry Jones basically said it.
Did he? I don't really pay attention to much that he says anymore.
I heard it on another podcast, so I didn't see it either. But he basically said, we feel good about our running back room right now.
Yeah.
And Deuce Vaughn, if you want to throw him in there. But, like, you know, that's a different level.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can just kind of spray paint over your Darren Sproles jerseys for Deuce Vaughn. I mean, they're the same guy as far as I'm concerned, right?
Facts.
But, you know, that's who's backing up Tony Pollard. So unless they sign Fournette, which I don't think they're going to do at this point, I think Fournette's kind of just waiting for a starter to go down with injury, which obviously we hope never happens, but likely will. Pollard is really like a big winner in the running back musical chairs of this offseason because he's ready to go. And he was awesome last year. They're going to probably take away his, I think he was returning punts for them last year or kicks.
Yes.
Like that's obviously out of the question because he's going to be handling, you know, 75% or more of their running back snaps. So why would you not take him? The only thing, and this is where my personal bias comes in, I think losing Kellen Moore is going to be such an underrated part of the Cowboys offseason, because what's the one thing you can probably say about the Mike McCarthy era in Green Bay?
Stale.
Any other all-time great coach probably gets at least one more Super Bowl out of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy got one. A lot of losses in the NFC Championship game, which I think we need to start giving quarterbacks and coaches a lot more credit for. But, you know, it got really ugly with Mike McCarthy at the end of that Green Bay. They were a predictable offense. They were not fun to watch. And they just got rid of the innovative mind that revolutionized that Cowboys offense. I think he had a couple of seasons where there were three pass catchers who were viable starting options. Even last year with Gallup and CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz, they were all kind of performing well, even though Dak led the league in turnovers. So, without Kellen Moore there and with Dak kind of turning into this really unsteady hand at the helm, I'm not really sure what I'm expecting from the Cowboys. And because of that, I haven't ended up with a lot of Tony Pollard or CeeDee Lamb.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess the only way I would look at it is, like, if you love AJ Brown, which I do, and opposite of you, I've had him on many fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Only year was bad was his injury prone year in Tennessee. Okay. Other than that, it's been just glorious to have this man on your team because, like you said, the slants for 40, the deep shots, the over-the-middle stuff, it's just beautiful to have him. If you really like A.J. Brown and your running backs in your league are getting taken a little early, you might look at, you know, Stephon Diggs and A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams in that range of like 8, 9, 10, 11, and you could say, oh, if I get A.J. Brown here, there's a chance that Tony Pollard's on the flip side or Josh Jacobs is on the flip side or whatever it may be. So, again, that's really important to not be so, you know, locked into one method of drafting. You got to see who goes ahead of you so you can then adjust on the fly. That's the key for almost any draft that you're in. All right, let's keep it pushing to some other guys here. I just want to hit one more guy in this top two round range because he is one of the more unique names by actual physical name as well as his stature in the league right now. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, Don, this was a guy who just was wide open, seemingly play after play after play last year for a very, very pungent Detroit Lions offense. It was bizarre to watch, but he was a stud. He's clearly determined and wants to be looked at as a top level receiver in this league. He's ranked in like, you know, late second, mid second, depending on where you're looking. Is Amon-Ra St. Brown a guy who you trust to do it again with Jared Goff and this Lions team, somebody you're targeting in this fantasy year?
The beauty of the late season resurgence of the Detroit Lions last year is you learned that you don't even have to trust Jared Goff if you don't want to. Trust Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, who did some truly unbelievable things with spare parts and Amon-Ra St. Brown, essentially. you know, and I'm yeah. like, let's call it what it is. They got 18 1-yard rushing touchdowns from one guy. That hurt yep. Amon-Ra St. Brown a lot. And he was still a beast. wire-to-wire wide receiver one. And don't forget, by the way, like, he's already a fantasy legend because he put up back-to-back 25-plus point games in the playoffs of his rookie season in 2021-2022. So this guy, like, there's going to be a lot of people even drafting him off of that sentiment even still. Because, if you etch yourself into the history books in, like, do you remember who Jerome Harrison was?
I do not.
Yeah, no big deal. He just ran for 250 yards in the fantasy championship in, like, 2007 and won me a championship. Okay?
Never
this
forget.
This is what you guys might be dealing with when you're drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, honestly, if it's full point PPR, there's not a pick in the second round that would be wasted on him, including round two, pick one. He's that good.
Love that.
He's in a great offense where he's clearly the focal point. You know, like, it's an awesome homecoming for Marvin Jones, who put in some really interesting kind of spike in the radar type seasons. But other than that, like, Jahmyr Gibbs will catch a lot of passes. But if they're passing in the red zone, Goff's going to Amon-Ra. He's praising the sun god.
All day, every day. Yeah, I love him, and I got to be honest, I put my hand up pre-draft when I did my receiver rankings for that draft specifically. Not very high on Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's one of my big misses. I was like, I don't really see what's special about this guy. He got a bunch of wide-open looks from USC where he was just open in the end zone, like, not that special. Came in and just shut me the hell up because he was cooking people yak out the butt, and it was sick. It's just been a pleasure to watch him. So in that range, you get the Jalen Waddles, the Garrett Wilsons, the Chris Olaves, another guy people love this year who I also love. Devontae Smith a little bit later down the list. All those guys are probably in the same relative space, but their rankings make it feel like you can't pick one of them in a certain area. So make sure you have a good grasp of how you feel about those guys because you don't want to be sitting at pick 18 and say, oh, Chris Olave's ranked 25th. I can't take him. I can't take him there. You can. You can take him there because he might be an absolute stud. Yeah, exactly. So all those guys are fantastic. There's a bunch of other names there. Is there anyone else in this range that I haven't mentioned that you kind of want to throw a shout out to, even if it's somebody who's touching on the third round?
You know, I think we're doing okay. Just, you know, don't forget what Derrick Henry has given us over the last 6 years as fantasy managers. Yes. He's, you know,
I've never had him.
If you want to say that he's on the decline and you're not going to take him, I understand it, but like, show some respect to the man. Another thing, you really might be able to manipulate ADP with Josh Jacobs because, you know, as it got closer and closer to, you know, the season, the start of the season, like, it really seemed like he's fading a little bit. He's going to play. And they don't have anybody behind him. He's going to run the ball a lot. So if you can get him like in the middle of the second round, I wouldn't be afraid of it at all.
Yeah, and he led the league in carries last year as well. And even if the efficiency numbers weren't there, the volume, which is more important to fantasy, was definitely still there. So I've never had him, and for that reason, I probably just never will.
Yeah.
But I could see a year for me this year where I've literally never had Derrick Henry. I've never picked him in the first round, and now I'm picking 14th in a 14 team league this year. I could see myself going,
you might get both of them
picks in a row. I got two picks in a row. I just have to take him, I think. Yeah. I have no choice.
Yeah.
And then I might be very happy about it. All right, so this one's a little bit more difficult to pinpoint because it's a little bit more abstract, if you will. But I'm going to talk mid-round targets for you. Yeah. These are just guys that stand out. Anywhere from the 30s to the 60s, wherever you want to go with this, because drafts can get weird, right? There's always that one guy who's ranked like 34th by ESPN who's still on the board for some reason when it's picked like 72. Yep. Right. So these picks do get a little bit wonkier as the rankings start to go out the window just a little bit for at least the sharp players in your league. So in this range there, Don, is there some specific targets that you have when you're going into the draft that, you know, maybe when you get in that room, you're going to star them early because you want to make sure they're on your radar in those rounds 3 through 7?
So 3 through 7, let's just start here.
4 through 7, whatever you want.
I'll do 3 through 7 because I want to respect your timeline. It's your show. I wanted to make this point. 20 picks or two full rounds of picks should go before Travis Kelce or after Travis Kelce's taken, before a tight end gets taken. No one has any value that high in like the third round. Don't take him. So if you don't get Kelce, you're not taking Mark Andrews in the third round. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
He's not going to challenge
Kelce. He got lucky as hell with touchdowns the 1 year he overtook Kelce in non-PPR. That was the only time Travis Kelce hasn't been tight end one across all formats, was non-PPR, where it's just so heavily dependent on touchdowns. And that was when Mark Andrews was able to clip him. So I wanted to make sure I said that, because like I really believe it. Two full rounds should go in your draft before another tight end gets taken after Travis Kelce, even if Kelce slips to the end of the first.
Right. And if I could stop you before you move on here to another Rutz point that I lived so hard on for years and years, you guys would do, I forget exactly what you called it, but every single week you would pick a tight end and a quarterback. What would you guys call it? Like some sort
stream.
Of waiver.
We hop in the stream.
The stream. Hop in the stream. The water is fine. Yep. There you go. Nope. You got it back for me. Like I played that way and still do so frequently. And yes, it's very frustrating when you're plucking off Cole Kmet from the waiver wire and you're expecting 3 points. It could be frustrating, but there's also ways for you to get by a tight end and just take swing after swing after swing on running backs and wide receivers. I mean, I partially because of you could not agree more with that sentiment. Like if you don't get Kelce, the next four guys, you might as well throw them in a hat and just see what happens. Unless you're still drinking the Kyle Pitts Kool-Aid and you want to go crazy on Kyle Pitts, knock yourself out. You won't catch me reaching for one of those guys as well. You get too many good swings on too many good players in those rounds 3 through 7 on just receivers and running backs who can be RB, wide receiver one, and if not twos by a long shot.
And to go off of another position that you're likely only, you should only draft one of, the quarterbacks. If you're not going to get Mahomes, Allen, or Jalen Hurts, you're not drafting a quarterback until the fourth round. If that quarterback that you're drafting in the fourth round is not Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, or Justin Herbert, you're not taking one in the fourth round either. So then your next option is the seventh round. And that's when you can take your Trevor Lawrence's, your Justin Fields's. It's the quarterback situation is always a fun one to monitor. Right. When you're looking at the draft board and you see the QB color and you're like, OK, these teams have quarterbacks, so I can probably wait another round because nobody's going to take two quarterbacks in the first 7 rounds. Round 10 is where it gets shaky. But even still, with that streaming mentality, like there's a lot of really interesting quarterbacks, in my opinion. Like I have all of a sudden fallen in love with Kenny Pickett, and he's free. Like you could draft two kickers and cut one of them week one and still be able to pick up Kenny Pickett. So like, don't do that. Obviously you take one kicker, but so
yeah, if you have to even take a kicker, if you're on Yahoo, you don't even have to.
Yeah. So 3 through 7, you're either taking quarterback in the fourth, the seventh, or you're not, unless you got one of the big, one of those top three, basically the guys who are probably going to finish 1, 2, and 3 in the MVP voting for fantasy quarterback. So 3 through 7, though, Damian Pierce has been an interesting name just because it seems like the Texans are going to trust him to play on third downs more this year. I think it's because everybody finally got over Rex Burkhead as a thing. Like, because he's
about damn time.
Yeah, I know. Well, who knows? But he's been an interesting one. He's been kind of climbing. I've been really interested in just seeing like Chris Godwin going earlier than Mike Evans for the first time since the Buccaneers drafted Godwin and made the two of them teammates. I don't see it. You know, Godwin
I'm staying away from both of those guys.
That's fine, because I'll take whatever Mike Evans stock you have. There's only been one guy ever who's had 1,000 yards in every single one of his seasons, and it's been him.
Right.
I don't know what they're
off. He is him.
He's incredible, and he's such a good guy, and he should have won the Heisman the year that Johnny Manziel won his. It should have been him over Manti Te'o. I'll go to my grave saying it. The only reason that Johnny Football was able to become what he became was because he had Mike Evans on his team. Neither here nor there. If you want to take Mike Evans in the 5th or 6th round, go for it. I think the Alvin Kamara question is one that's going to be answered in rounds 3 through 7 by the end of this year, whether or not you should have taken him. And if so, you know, will his ADP end up providing value, or was it something where it's just like, oh, Alvin Kamara was taken pick 50, which I think is the last pick of the 4th round or something like that. So like, is that good? Like, is that a good thing or did it sink people? Because you're essentially taking him, if you're not drafting a quarterback or a tight end that is other than Kelsey, you're essentially taking Kamara as your flex. And then you're saying, okay, I'm going to take him as my flex and then I'm going to bench him for 3 weeks. And I think it's certainly a gamble that people are going to be willing to make. I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably one that I'm going to make at some point because this dude has done nothing but score touchdowns and make electric plays. He's had a bad couple of years. He certainly had a weird one last year as the Saints were kind of moving away from Sean Payton's system and into Dennis Allen's. We'll see how that goes this year. I think Derek Carr is going to be a huge help in steadying that team with what Derek Carr was able to do and kind of steadying the ship with the Raiders. So he's been really interesting for me, but you know, to bring him back, like Mike Williams as a post-hype sleeper is fun. You know,
I love, he is a post-hype sleeper now too.
Keenan Allen's getting raves in training camp right now saying, oh, it's Keenan Allen. Sometimes teams do that to guide you away from what's actually going on in camp. And off all we've heard is about Quentin Johnston and Keenan Allen. So, you know, if Mike Williams is that big deep threat, which they did not utilize well at all last year in the Chargers offense, that's what the Kellen Moore just did with the Cowboys, which is why.
Yes.
And listen, I should have mentioned this as soon as I started talking about Mike Williams. I'm a Chargers fan. I need this to be a huge Herbert year because like the chatter is getting loud about, are we sure this guy is really that good? Or is he just Josh Allen without the playoff pedigree? And without those, like, the classic, like, you know, Chiefs showdown. I get it. So I kind of need that to be the case. I do think Herbert has a great shot to be the MVP if he can stay healthy in that Kellen Moore system and he can protect the ball better than Dak Prescott did. So that's kind of where my head's at with that. There's just so much, like Drake London is going in between rounds 3 and 7. He could easily turn into, you know, he was considered the best prospect out of all of these receivers that were drafted last year. And, you know, could he outperform Garrett Wilson? Could he outperform Olave? Who knows?
Can't see it.
You know, so
I can't see it personally.
Neither can I. I think the Falcons are going to stink this year, but that's neither here nor there.
Real quick on the Chargers, real quick, because this is also super important. If you're looking at Keenan Allen and Mike Williams in reality, you're looking at them as two pretty much equally valuable players to the Chargers offense.
Yeah.
Fantasy ADPs on average are not treating them even in the same atmosphere. Keenan Allen's average, if I'm looking at Fantasy Pros right now, which is a little bit of a
composite, average,
composite. Thank you for giving me words to say. Keenan Allen is 45. Mike Williams is 71 or 69. That's ridiculous, nice. Don. Right? That's just very nice. That's ridiculous. Like those guys are way too similar of importance to be that far apart from each other when it comes to ADPs. And if you like the Chargers this year, Keenan Allen, from a efficiency standpoint, he was all volume. It wasn't efficiency last year. He got peppered with targets, but he wasn't as explosive. Mike Williams, yes. People who have had him in the past have been burned over and over again because of the injuries and just going for 3 or 30 points. They are way closer than 49 versus 69. It should be both in the 50s, if anything. So to me, the Mike Williams train is live and I'm trying to get on it.
Even the greatest chefs in the world get burned when they're too close to the stove. It's going to happen to all of us. If you believe...
Yeah.
Like I believe in Kellen Moore as an offensive mind. He was too good for too many years in a row and he quite frankly should be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys right now. I can't believe they passed over him to hire Mike McCarthy. It's insane. And then they let him go. It's nuts, but I'm so happy he's with the Chargers because, you know, Brandon Staley, now he's kind of got a play caller who can equate to the cojones, if you will, that Staley showed in his first year that was seemingly absent towards the end of last year. And granted, I want to just remind everybody, because one of the things we seem to always forget is not who got hurt, but who played hurt. And Justin Herbert played with fractured ribs for all of last season. Does it forgive it what two, happened in the playoffs against the Jags? Absolutely not. But does it forgive the fact that he wasn't running as much as people were expecting? I think it does. And it also was the fact 100%. That like he was check down Charlie for a while there, like that could have been part of it too. He didn't want to expose his ribs taking those deep shots. Now he's healed up. Now they've got a bolstered offensive line. I know this is too much Chargers talk for a New York-based sports podcast, I do apologize.
It's not a perfect amount. I picked them as one of my over-unders, and I went over. I'm pro-Chargers. Yep. People cannot calculate enough how much the impact of Kellen Moore versus Joe Lombardi is. Mm-hmm. I think I've said it on four podcasts in a row, how pissed off I was watching their offense the past couple of years. And I don't even care about the Chargers, and I would get pissed. I'm still pissed right now, and I've literally said it 4 weeks in a row. He was abysmal. Justin Herbert, bail us out again on 3rd and 9 because we suck. Right? Like, that's literally what happened.
The amazing part
is
he's able to do it 60% of the time.
He's so freaking good at it. All right.
One more for the 3-7.
Go ahead.
Darren Waller. I'm in. Stay healthy and he'll catch 14 touchdowns, it seems like. Go for it.
He's going to get peppered. When he's on the field, he's going to get peppered.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Love him.
Let me give you some quick hitters here. Yep. Rapid fire. Some guys who I'm interested in this round. Are you buying the Calvin Ridley hype?
Not at his current ADP, which is putting him in the 3rd round.
Yes.
Because if you go running back and take Calvin Ridley, you're essentially saying Calvin Ridley is going to score maybe a point or two less per game than Tyreek Hill. And that's just not going to happen. Doug Peterson's offense was never set up like that for the Eagles. Even when they had Alshon Jeffrey, he and Nelson Agholor were both like fringe wide receiver one, wide receiver two guys on a week-to-week basis. I think he can. I would love to see it. You know, he unfortunately became the poster child of this new gambling future that we're in with the NFL. I think they said he made a parlay. He bet on the team that he played for to win when he was away from the team. So he didn't even make the bet inside the team facility. Some of these guys that are getting suspended, I think even Jameson Williams is one of them. They were gambling inside the team facility. Like, I understand we're addicted to our phones and it's a miracle I haven't checked mine since we started recording. But like, come on, guys. Like, you're a professional football player. Stop going on. This is a DraftKings pod, right?
No longer, bro. I'm a free agent.
All right. Stop going on insert sportsbook here. And just go, and just wait till you get home. So, yeah, but anyway,
have your boys do it, bro. I don't know.
So it stinks because, you know, there was a lot going on with him outside of football that I don't want to bring up. I think he did a really interesting piece on the Players Tribune about it, which is still one of the coolest websites ever. Shout out Derek Jeter, Subway Sports Talk. Mm-hmm. So I'm not super in on him as my first receiver, but like, if I feel like I've got like, you know, if I've got like my Jamar Chase, and I've got, you know, at the end of the 2nd round, I got lucky and, you know, Ramondre Stevenson fell to me. So I got, you know, a guy who's going to get 18 to 20 carries and probably score 10 touchdowns if he stays healthy in Ramondre. And I've got Jamar Chase, who's, you know, could easily be the top scoring receiver this year. Why not take the chance on Calvin Ridley? But if I win, if I win McCaffrey and Ramondre, and now I've got all this equity in two 1st and 2nd round running backs, I'm not sure that Ridley's the guy I want falling back in case one of my running backs gets hurt, as they're so oft to do.
Yeah, I agree. I love Ridley so much as a football player, but I am torn with where he's going right now in the ADPs. I'll have to see him fall a few drops, and then maybe I would love to pounce on him.
I don't think he ran a drill compared to Zay Jones matters. I really don't.
Zay Jones caught so many strays that day.
You know, like, I don't think that matters as much as we made it seem, but it was interesting.
Yeah. All right. Next one. DeAndre Hopkins, Tennessee Titans. Weird that he chose the Titans, but there he is. Titans, one of those teams that, you know, you expect them to compete, but the offense was so bad last year, there's a bad taste in your mouth. However, DeAndre Hopkins, hella yards in just 9 weeks last year. 750 yards in 9 weeks. Is this a guy you're targeting this year, or are you too nervous about the Titans offense?
DeAndre Hopkins was a number one wide receiver with Tom Savage. He was a number one wide receiver with Brock Osweiler. He was a number one wide receiver with Case Keenum during his bad Texans years. He was a number one wide receiver with Colt McCoy. He was a number one wide receiver with any quarterback he's ever played with. Okay? So I get it. But Pete, who is going to lead the Tennessee Titans in pass attempts this year? Do you know?
Yeah, I bet the Titans under. So I think that tells you everything that you need to know about what I think.
Is it possible that the Titans have 3 quarterbacks attempt 300 passes or more this year? Because I think it's entirely likely.
It might be possible. It very well may be possible.
Maybe 250 is the better number, but like, it's tough. This is a transitionary period for the Titans, because we don't know what we're going to get out of Derrick Henry. I believe he's going into his age 29 season. Again, don't you ever forget what he did for us as fantasy players. because he should walk into the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame as well. But you know, it's one of the craziest conundrums of the season. Like, I would say Bijan's probably number one. Number two for me might be, what do you do with DeAndre Hopkins? Because at the same time of like,
yeah,
who's going to throw to him? Are the Titans going to throw enough to sustain him as a wide receiver one? Who cares? He's going in the fifth round. Take right. him. You're never going to get him that cheap again unless he really stinks. Yeah. And he never has.
On a personal note, I'm torn because I have him in a keeper league in the fifth round.
No.
And it seems like it's a crazy move. And granted, my team was trash, so I don't have great options, but I'm going to get to one of my options in a minute here. So I'm torn. I'm pro DeAndre Hopkins always and forever, but it's really hard to be pro him at this moment. It's another one of those situations where you talked about it. If you got your starters, you're in round five, and you got two running backs, two wide receivers, you're feeling pretty swift right now.
Take him.
Knock yourself out. You're gonna have three swings on flexes right now and backups. Go for it. He might be your best one. Yep. So it's not crazy until it's crazy, but I'm still pro DeAndre Hopkins, even if I hate his offense. I might end up with him. All right, real quick on the Steelers front, you like Kenny Pickett.
I do.
You just said it before. Deontay Johnson, in that same relative range as DeAndre Hopkins, also the darling of NFL Twitter, George Pickens, not too far off, driving up on the ADP. Are you going to tie yourself to some Steelers wide receivers this year, Donald?
That's why I love Kenny Pickett. Is because I have loved Deontay Johnson for a very long time. He's such a
all over him.
He's
forever.
Become super underrated in terms of how shorthanded he was. Obviously, he had that one year where he dropped so many passes from Big Ben. He was so good, and obviously he's got the big if, right? He scored zero receiving touchdowns last year.
Crazy.
He was the fifth most targeted receiver in the NFL. So if you're choosing between Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, you're choosing which of those two statistics that Deontay Johnson recorded last year matters most. Does it matter more that he didn't score a touchdown, or does it matter more that he was the fifth most targeted receiver in the league? Because if he's even around the top 10, you would imagine the regression to the mean will happen for his touchdowns. However, if you want to have fun, you take George Pickens, because every time that guy steps on a football field or in front of a microphone, he is must-see television. And he came on like a hurricane last year. And I hope that Pickett to Pickens is a thing for all time, because I can't wait to start hearing people say Kenny Pickens or George Pickett. It's going to happen if these two stay in Pittsburgh long enough. And I hope it does.
I've done it already.
There you go.
I've done it before.
It's fun.
So I have Pickens in the 10th in that same keeper league, and that seems like a no-brainer for me.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt.
I mean, he's so fun. You just need him to get a target share, and then you're absolutely chilling.
Because the thing is,
all right,
and this is why I would say that so quickly, you could get DeAndre Hopkins in the fifth round again. You ain't getting George Pickens in the 10th.
Correct. He's just too hype.
That's my pick for you. Do with it what you will.
I appreciate that. I was leaning that way, and that might be the last push I needed. Is there anybody else in this general range that you are comfortable going above ADP, like by a decent chunk? Like, is there anybody who has an ADP in the 60s or 70s that you say, screw it, he's fifth round, let's go? Is there anybody like
that? You're probably going to have to if you want Darren Waller.
Okay.
Just the hype train is going to be out of control in the live draft,
especially in New York,
because you're going to have guys who are just like, I don't want to think about having to wait for him. I'm a Giants fan, or you know, I'm a Waller guy, because he's got a very inspirational backstory to him as well. Mm-hmm. Severe issues with addiction that he's overcome. Also, like, not a terrible rap career as well for Darren Waller. He's a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk. People are going to forget that he was a wide receiver too the last 2 years, because he spent that one season in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. He's out. And the McCaffrey acquisition for the 49ers, in addition to the fact that they still gave plenty of work to Elijah Mitchell, really hindered the backfield usage of Deebo Samuel last year. And because of that, it kind of ended up benefiting Ayuk, who's super, super talented. Which...
Oh, stud.
So Ayuk's going later than Samuel, so that's why I've gotten Ayuk more in drafts.
If you end up with Ayuk as your wide receiver too, you will not be sad about it.
That's what he was for you last year. And he's
and the year before that. Yeah. Like he's in the same range as guys who, you know, their upside is probably a good flex to a wide receiver too. His upside realistically at some point here, especially if their quarterback situation is figured out, is to be really close to a wide receiver one. He has that type of talent. And obviously the Debo and the Kittle of it all and their offense not always just keying in on one person, it matters, but he is a talent that his floor is just so high. It's so freaking high. I love Brandon Ayuk.
He's one of those guys. He's a tough sell because like if you've never had Brandon Ayuk, you don't understand how good he is. Because you don't watch
facts.
And if you watch him, you're gonna like you're just gonna see it be like he's one of those guys who's like, how does he get that open?
He's huge, he's fast, he's physical, and he's got great hands. Like what
I love what are we doing? I love him.
All right, let's go into the most fun part of Fantasy Talk because it's the one that probably matters the least. But when you're in that draft room and you're thinking about it, and there's that guy who you saw that random report about or that random video, and you're like, I freaking love this guy. I'm going all in this year. Jaylen Warren, 60-yard touchdown in preseason. He's going pick 130.
I fell for it.
Let's ride. Oh, who isn't, right? So give me some guys or give me one or two guys and we can go from there who are in these late rounds. I'm going to call them late round lovers. Do you have any late round lovers for me, Donald?
I do. And to the Algier family, I know I teased it very early on in this episode that you guys would be hearing your relative's name. Now's the time. Tyler Algier is going to matter in fantasy football this year. If they're going to line up, if they're going to line up Bijan Robinson at wide receiver as much as the Falcons are threatening to, then they're going to need somebody in the backfield. And it's just for pass protection purposes, it's not going to be Cordarrelle Patterson. He's not a between the tackles runner like Algier is. Algier was a wrecking ball in the red zone for them last year, and he was really, really good. And if you're going to believe everything that the Falcons have said since they took Bijan Robinson pick 7, that they don't see him as a running back, they just see him as an offensive weapon, well, they're still going to need a running back on the field. And if it's going to be anybody other than Bijan Robinson lining up next to or behind Desmond Ridder, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to be Algier. Now, what does that translate to? I don't know. But if Bijan Robinson, and I hope this doesn't happen, but it happens to running backs a lot. If Bijan Robinson gets hurt, Tyler Algier will be a running back 2 without question at the end of the year. And he is currently going in double digit
with your last pick. Yeah, you can get him with your last pick.
I wouldn't wait that long, but but you can. And another one, I'll just throw this one out there. Tank Bigsby on name alone, I would have been like, yeah, give me that guy. It's the reason that I told my brother to take Taj Bradley in his fantasy baseball league, and that worked out. So I'm kind of in tune with like the ESP of like a cool name. But Tank Bigsby has been getting raves in Jaguars camp, and he seems to be a better pass catcher out of the backfield than Travis Etienne, who was good last year and would be a fine pick at the end of the second round, in my opinion, because like Etienne had some really good games and had that game ceiling run on 4th-and-1 against my beloved Chargers. By the way, I knew at halftime of that game that the Jags were going to come back and win. That's how well I know the Chargers.
Yeah.
But either way, Tank Bigsby, another guy I really like. I'm not sold on Kendre Miller, the guy from the Saints, because you can't be too sold on any Saints running back anymore because of perhaps the best blackmail artist in the history of the National Football League, Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
I thought he just knew where Sean Payton's bodies were buried. No. This man knows where the Benson family has buried their bodies. It wouldn't shock me if he's the 15th man on the New Orleans Pelicans roster once the NFL season is over. That's how deep into the Benson family's pockets Taysom Hill is. So if you've got Alvin Kamara, you've also got Jamal Williams, who they paid starting running back money to, and you've got Taysom Hill, and you've got Derek Carr throwing to Michael Thomas and Chris Olave. Juwan Johnson's been getting rave reviews from camp. And all of a sudden, we're going to stop all of this to give more touches to a rookie running back. I just don't see it happening. Not this year, at least.
Taysom Hill will have his 32 carries on the year for 8 touchdowns. And it's just going to piss you off if you have Kendre Miller on your bench and you never could play him. Kamara's in your lineup. He never gets touchdowns. It's going to suck. Like I agree with you on the Kendre Miller, even though he's a guy who you might like as a football player. it's just not going to work out in that front. Are there any rookies this year that you're looking at who could be impact players? We've seen many rookie receivers specifically, as well as running backs, of course, but we've seen rookies make serious impacts on the field and in fantasy football. Are there any rookies that you're looking at in the hundreds here that you want to kind of have a piece
I've enjoyed Jordan Addison, who was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. He was highly touted out of USC. Adam Thielen leaving Minnesota is a bigger deal than it's been made out to be. And that may just be because he wasn't, you know, catching as many passes or gaining as many yards, but he was still such a threat for Kirk Cousins in the red zone. And a lot of teams I think we're going to see are going to sell out to Justin Jefferson's side. Now, granted, Kevin O'Connell's offense is predicated around finding out how a defense is covering Justin Jefferson, and then in the second half, adjusting so that Justin Jefferson isn't getting double covered all game. It was unbelievable how good of a job they did with that. And that may have come at the price of Adam Thielen being that every week wide receiver too for the Vikings like he was last year. I think also the Hockenson acquisition was there as well. But if this offense is going to be...
Thielen had 100 targets last year.
There's 100 targets that they have to make up. And TJ Hockenson could not have been targeted more than he was. He had the fifth most targets in the league from the time he was acquired by the Minnesota Vikings until the end of the season. That's not going to go up. Okay, so
physically,
even that, you have 100 vacated targets. KJ Osborne is a guy who has saved you in some weeks when you needed an emergency starter. I love that guy. I think he's really good. But they took this kid in the first. They took Addison in the first round. They're going to want to see some things out of him his rookie year. He's going to get some opportunities. I really like him. The 10th round is where you really might want to start keeping your eyes out, because the news just came out that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is getting wrist surgery. Seattle seems to think that he's going to be back. He could be back for week one. You can go ahead and write it in permanent marker. He ain't playing week one. There's just no way. I'm pretty sure the Seahawks play the Rams, who they could beat without Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Sorry to any Rams fans out there. I'm assuming you've already bought Mahomes jerseys again. But if he starts to slide, because keep in mind, like, a lot of leagues now are going to that dynasty format, are becoming keeper leagues because, you know, you got the commitment from a large group of people. If Jaxon Smith-Njigba sneaks into the double digit rounds, you have to take him, because if he's as good as as people are saying he is, and he looked great in the preseason. And so I think he could get there. And if he slips into the double digit rounds, you really have to take him there. So
now let me give you two guys here, and I don't want you to be New York biased here. Two guys who are getting deep in the bag here of the fantasy rankings. One is local, so his ADP will be higher. I'm taking that into consideration. They are not next to each other, but they're going to be closer than they probably should be in New York based fantasy leagues. Zay Flowers exists as a possible number one option for the Baltimore Ravens, and Jalen Hyatt exists as the possible breakout star receiver for the New York Giants, who Giants fans are kind of banking on being a pretty go-to option for Daniel Jones. Do either Zay Flowers or Jalen Hyatt tickle your fancy?
So I want to pause real quick, because I called BS on something earlier. I'm going to call BS on the 24 miles an hour report from Jalen Hyatt. Like, they don't have, who cares? First of all, put him in a race against Tyreek Hill and let's see how he does. If you really think he's going to be the fastest guy in the NFL. You want to talk about how they saved the Pro Bowl? How about that? Jalen Hyatt versus Tyreek Hill. Or just give me 40. I don't care. But anyway,
right?
He's the fun one, right? He's like that trendy pick, caught a touchdown from Tyrod Taylor on a beautiful route in the preseason game against the Panthers. Fun fact, the draft that I've already completed was taking place during that game, and Hyatt was drafted off of that touchdown alone. And that's not a bad pick.
There you go.
And it wasn't even a Giants fan who took him. It's not a bad pick. He has to overtake Sterling Shepard, who's coming off of two ACL tears and an Achilles tendon rupture, and Darius Slayton. Yeah.
And Hodgins. Don't forget about the Hodgins factor.
Who?
Isaiah Hodgins.
I look forward to forgetting him as soon as his name is mentioned every time I hear it. Because they were so over the moon about him that they took Hyatt in the first round. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's hysterical.
And then the other thing is, Waller has injury history. And I don't want it to be like, again, it's not, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but those are the facts, is that, you know, some guys for whatever reason get hurt more than others. And some running backs, you can bank on missing a couple of games. Hello, Joe Mixon. How are you doing? So I'm in on Hyatt. And if you're in the 11th round or later and you want to take Jalin Hyatt, you do it and you have fun. And I hope he plays well.
And he might, and especially like these rookie guys, you got to hold on to them too. You know, if you're going to drop people early, trust me, I've done the worst of the worst with dropping some people too early. He's a guy you hold on to, because by week 7, 8, 9, that might be the time he takes off. You just let him ride your bench until you feel comfortable, and then maybe you flex him. And then before you know it, he could be a wide receiver too on your team if he start putting up 80 yards.
Similar to another New York Giants rookie wide receiver who is the reason that I don't like Zay Flowers as much as other people.
Oh,
Odell Beckham Jr. is going in the double digit rounds. And listen, this is it. This is it, Odell. It's got to be now. Because if it's not, he's out of the league next year. No one is going to sign him for the money he's going to want. And no one's going to want to expose a young quarterback to that. He's in a perfect spot. Do you want to say Lamar Jackson's the best quarterback that Odell Beckham has ever played with? I'm close to it. I don't know.
Well, Matt Stafford, I'll say Matt Stafford was at his peak for those 7 weeks or whatever it was.
He was.
You know, so
I don't know.
But Lamar is better.
It's tough. It's really tough. I love Odell. I think he's one of the most talented football players, regardless of position, that I've ever seen. He made some of the most extraordinary things look so effortless. And, you know, I just really would love to see like one more year where he plays nearly every game, because he's never actually played a full season in his career. So I would just like to, can you get Odell to 14 games this year? And let's just see what happens.
I'll take 12.
I'll take
12. I do like Zay Flowers still. And again, we're talking about
awesome story behind him as well. You know, for those of you who don't know, he's from Boston College. I believe he might have even won like the best receiver in college football award at Boston College. And with all this stuff about the transfer portal, which I'll save for another episode of your show or mine, like, he stayed at Boston College for his final year before he was able to declare for the draft. And, you know, he's a good dude from what it seems like. He's loyal. And now he gets to catch passes from Lamar Jackson. You know, we'll see, because the guys around him are hurt very often. Not just Odell, Rashad Bateman. Well, Mark Jackson's missed some time. Mark Andrews, not Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, different topic.
I hope Mark Jackson's doing good, man. That hurt when he got let go. Him and Van Gundy in one fell swoop. Like, come on, man. I know this is not why you brought me here, but my God.
We might have to do a separate breakout. My God. I agree. Even though he wasn't my favorite analyst, it felt so ingrained into the ESPN broadcast that I learned to love him. And I'm a little sad too. Mama, there goes that man out the door.
You think Doc Rivers is going to come up with anything close to that?
Nope. Not even close. All right, Donald, I gotta ask you one more thing before we wrap up here. Is there just anyone we missed? Is there any one person from the first round to the 14th that you just have to get off your chest real quick before we say goodbye?
This hurts because I am perhaps going to be the last person cleaning up the chairs and sweeping up the cups and wiping down the tables at the final meeting of the Trey Lance fan club. But Brock Purdy is freer than free. And he had multiple QB1 weeks when he took over, and he has the keys now. So and you know, we talked about it, like, when do you take Deebo Samuel? When do you take Brandon Ayuk? What does that mean for Kittle? What does it do for McCaffrey? Take Brock Purdy. When has Kyle Shanahan ever had a quarterback play all 17 games of a season and that guy stunk? He turned Matt Ryan into an MVP, and then what happened after he left the Falcons? He made Kirk Cousins like $150 million when he was the offensive coordinator in Washington. All he's done is make all of these quarterbacks look like gods. And so why not? And even if it doesn't work out, you're getting him in the 14th round. So who cares?
Doesn't matter.
You know?
Jump into the stream.
Jump into the stream,
fellas.
That's the one thing. This really might be the year that a rookie tight end is good. I don't know if it's going to be Kincaid? Michael Mayer or the kid from Green Bay. I forget his name. Scott's going to kill me because he loves him. I think it's like Luke something. Like, this might be the year.
I got you in a second.
And so if you're going to go into, if you're going to wait on tight end, and if you don't get like Kittle, Hockenson, Waller, or Kelsey or Andrews, like, don't take one until the last round.
Luke Musgrave.
All right. I got the first name right, Scott.
There you go. Shout out, Scott.
So yeah, one of those rookies I think is going to matter. I love Chigi Okonkwo. It's one of the best names of all time in the history of the NFL.
Fantastic.
He was like a hurricane at the end of the year.
If he was John Smith, he might not even be in the league right now, but he's Chigi Okonkwo, and he's a beast.
I don't know if you've seen him in person or on television.
I'm just kidding.
But he would be.
The name helps.
I think his nickname would be Chigi Okonkwo if his name was John Smith, because that's how cool he is.
I love it.
Yeah, there's so many guys. There's so many guys that would be cool. Quentin Johnston would be an interesting one for the Chargers. That's like a perfect match. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I love Cortland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy just got hurt again.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Denver, but you know,
I hate Russell Wilson with everything I've got. I hope he never receives an MVP vote in his career. He is the equivalent of James Harden, and how I feel about James Harden in the NBA. That's how I feel about Russ. Like, they're the only two guys, professional athletes right now, that I'm actively rooting against. Not injury. I just hope they don't win.
But Cortland Sutton, perhaps.
Cortland Sutton did it with Case Keenum and Paxton Lynch.
Trevor Siemian and whoever else
they got. So,
yeah. I just want to say this, and this is thanks to you guys, you, Scott, and Tom. If you don't get the quarterback you want, just jump into the stream. It's not that bad. A lot of times, you find the guy by week 7, 8, 9, whatever it may be. You could play 5 different quarterbacks in the first 7 weeks, and you're going to be fine.
Sam Howell gets...
It's not that scary.
Sam Howell gets Arizona week one. I don't know who plays the Falcons, but that Bryce Young gets the Falcons in his first... Like,
book it.
Could you not have a better
place
to start as a rookie than against the freaking... than against the
worst
Falcons?
Defense.
Come on. You know, so
it's the water is fine. I've done it for 4 or 5 years now since you guys put me onto the stream game, and I'm never concerned. No. I'm never concerned that every single week there's 4 options on the waiver wire. If you're in a 1 quarterback league, there's 4 options for you to get 16
Kirk
to 20
Cousins.
Points. It's
isn't even getting drafted
all day. I've must have started Kirk Cousins about 72 times in my last 3 years of fantasy, because he always is just right there throwing 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
He just gets it done.
It is what it is. Donald, this was wonderful. Talk about getting it done. That's you, my friend. I appreciate you coming on the show. The Collections Podcast is Spotify exclusive. You got to check that one out. You're talking about all sorts of stuff, fantasy football, sports, music, movies. You do all sorts of beautiful stuff on that show. I was once a guest, and I hope we continue this beautiful relationship. I look forward to it, bro. It's great to talk to you.
You too, bud.
Wish Scott some love from me, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, man, when you call, I will answer. Don't ever forget it.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Subway Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app, notification bell, and comment on YouTube. But other than that, we will talk to you soon. NFL season starts in just a week. It's time. Cheers.
Let's rock.